Do you ever have these little voices inside your head talking? Okay, maybe it's just me, but sometimes these voices seem to escape. And sometimes they come out a little like this.
Obi-Wan Kenobi and Master Plo Koon, Spike TV.
Yeah, but dabba do, Fred Flintstone.
Willy Wonka, Captain Jack Sparrow. Michael J. Fox is not available, so wait a second, Doc. You mean to tell me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
The way I see it, Marty, if you're going to build a time machine out of a car, why not do it some style?
Do a little Johnny test in between and then
go over to Fox tonight.
Believe it or not, all those voices came out of one person. It wasn't me, but it is my guest.
Initializing. It's your break.
Welcome to It's Your Break.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Mertz, and on this episode of It's Your Break, we take an in-depth look into the world of voice acting with one of Hollywood's premier voice actors, James Arnold Taylor. And it's all coming up next on It's Your Break.
People think saving money is hard, but really, it's easy. It's as simple as changing a few spending habits. For free tips on how to save the easy way, check out feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Call us now. Leave us your thoughts and comments for It's Your Break at 502-509-4IYB.
Hey, welcome to It's Your Break, and on this episode of It's Your Break, we are taking a look into one of the forces of acting, the type that does not require somebody's face to actually be on the TV or the big screen, which works quite well for myself and for this guy too, James Arnold Taylor, one of the premier voices out there in Hollywood right now. What's going on, guy?
Well, I am just enjoying my time on a break right now. You know, it is my break as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think what you got, 30 minutes before your next session?
That's right. Well, you know, in the world of voiceover, it is great because you can work in so many different facets. I can start the day as Obi-Wan Kenobi and Master Plo Koon for Star Wars The Clone Wars, and then move over to Spike TV and do some promos there and
do a little Johnny test in between and then
go over to Fox tonight.
And that's what I'll be doing after our little break here together. So, it's a great time to be a voice actor because there's so many different opportunities for you.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is one of the most fascinating fields that I can find out there because, again, like I said, you don't have to be exactly in front of a camera. So if your camera's shining, it's like the perfect opportunity. You know, you don't have to worry about what your body's doing. Does it match what you know what you're supposed to be sounding like?
Right.
You know, and it's one of those things that you just don't have to worry about so much.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where whenever I get into a studio where I'm doing a show such as, you know, Batman the Brave and the Bold or Star Wars the Clone Wars or Spider-Man or wherever where we have a lot of on-camera actors, you know, we have the difference between on-camera actors are all the pretty people, Johnny Depp and, you know, Brad Pitt and all of these guys doing their thing. We call them on-camera, and then we are voice actors, not because we're not lovely to look at as well, but because we do focus primarily on the voice and creating characters just with our voices. But the great thing is whenever I do a session with these people, you know, celebrities or what have you, they always turn to me in the middle of the session and go, "This is harder than it looks." And I say, "Yeah, it actually is." You know, you think you're just going to walk in and just talk for a while, but there is a lot more to voiceover than most people think. And I think so many people want to be voice actors, but they don't realize what all goes into it. And I know that you do quite a bit of voice as well, Jonathan, and you know the aspects of it all. So it's great fun, but it's also a lot of work.
It is. It is totally a lot of work, and especially when you go to develop a character for something that's just out there, out of the blue for somebody. You know, you need a voice for this particular commercial, or you need, you know, something for this, you know, little bit cartoon character. I watched a thing on Mel Blanc one time. I used to love it. Because YouTube, you can see everything now. And he said, you know, when he developed Porky Pig, they said he was a timid little pig.
Right.
And, you know, and he said, well, what would a pig sound like? Well, he went out to a farm and got to understand, you know, that pigs grunt a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So he took that grunt and made that little stutter for Porky Pig, which is kind of ingenious, but it's all what your imagination can do. And that's what I absolutely love about your profession.
Oh, yeah, it is exactly that. And again, being any age or, you know, for example, like the character Plo Koon on The Clone Wars, Plo is a Jedi master. He's got this big mask on and goggles, and you don't really get to see a lot of his face. And so Dave Filoni, our director, had said, you know, give us, think Gandalf from The Lord of the Rings.
So I started there with kind of an Ian McKellen impression, and then I thought, well, what if we, you know, take it down a bit?
And then they take it in Matt Wood over there at Skywalker Sound. He changes it around and
turns it into something a little more different.
But it's just great to think that it all starts in the imagination, and whatever is animated, people then believe. When people watch Fred Flintstone, for example, they're not imagining that it's a 5'4" blonde guy that looks a little more like David Spade in a booth going,
yeah, but damn do, Fred Flintstone,
you know, but that's what it is. And that's again, the beauty of voiceover, or, you know, again, Johnny Test, who's, you know, he's 11 years old and he's really cool and he's fun and he's got a talking dog named Duke and he's totally awesome. But, you know, it's this old guy in a padded room talking to myself instead. So yeah, it is the best of all worlds, because we get to act, we get to perform, we get to do that, yet at the same time we have a bit of anonymity. People don't always know who we are, although I did just get back from Star Wars Celebration 5, and it was great fun because the fans are so wonderful there, but also they knew us, you know, they knew the cast and they knew what we look like, and they'd be like, hey, coming up and, you know, asking for an autograph or a photo or whatever, or just to talk to you, and so it's great for us to have that little bit of ego time as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I was told, because you talked about getting this little padded room by yourself and started talking off the wall.
Yeah.
I remember this story quite vividly. When I was 16, and I'm 31 now, I'll Gary be 31 uh-huh. actually in a couple months. My very first boss that I got in radio said, uh-huh. if you want to be in radio, you got to be a little strange.
Yeah.
He said, because you're going to be in a room by yourself and you're going to talk to yourself pretending that you're talking to somebody else.
Yes, it is. It is that. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
He said that, you know, that is what makes us unique, and just don't ever forget that.
Yeah. You know, I started in radio when I was 17 years old. I started as a stand-up at 16 and then got into radio at 17 and worked for a syndicator as well, and was a DJ and was a morning show producer and on morning shows and midnight and all those different shifts. But it's always the thought of you are talking to somebody in, you know, your best friend or hundreds of people or thousands of people or hundreds of thousands of people. And you just want to give them that information in the best way you can and in the funnest way you can. But you also have to have no inhibitions about it. When you're a voice actor and you walk into this little room with the glass, and through the glass are, you know, sometimes 10, 20 people, sometimes 5 people, directors, writers, producers, engineers, all those people staring back at you, and they're just waiting for you to perform. You cannot worry about how you look, how you sound, what faces you're making. You just have to go for it. And, you know, it's like if you're being shot in a video game, you know, you got to do those sounds, or you're falling off a cliff. Whoa! You know, you just have to just go for it and not worry that maybe you look a little silly, because you're selling storytelling so much more in voiceover, because you're just creating those worlds for people with your voice.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we didn't do when I first got on here with you is kind of set you up. James Arnold Taylor is one of the most amazing guys I've ever talked to that I've gotten to say, hey, I know exactly what this guy does. You know, I know his name. I know what he has voiced. But you may not know exactly who this guy is. As he has alluded to, he's Johnny Test.
Yeah.
Which is very awesome. He's Obi-Wan Kenobi, which I think has brought a huge cult following behind you.
It has, yeah. It really has. It's been wonderful, yeah.
He is the current... Leonardo. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say Leonardo the Ninja Turtle for TMNT. I'll let you do it. It sounds better if you do it then, if there's any other ones. But yeah, Fred Flintstone, yeah, you know, I've kind of gone through them all here, but feel free to go on.
It's just amazing, you know. It's a spectacular Spider-Man, Harry Osborn, which is also the Hobgoblin, right?
And Ratchet and Clank. I'm Ratchet on the Ratchet and Clank games. Gabe Logan for the Siphon Filter games. Gingy, the Gingerbread Man for Shrek, as well as the Big Bad Wolf and Prince Charming, which is Rupert Everett, usually in the films, or Artie, which is Justin Timberlake in the movies, Shrek 3. You know, a lot of different characters there. Willy Wonka, when Johnny Depp's not available. Captain Jack Sparrow, if he's not available. I do a lot of voice doubling, so I'll fill in for a lot of celebrities if they're not there. If, you know, Michael J. Fox is not available, so, well, wait a second, Doc. You mean to tell me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
The way I see it, Marty, if you're going to build a time machine out of a car, why not do it with some style?
You know, you got that. But, you know, I also noticed that, like, Shia LaBeouf, who I do a lot of his doubling, sounds a lot like Marty McFly, just a little lower, a little more gruff, you know. But, yeah, let's say
Christopher Walken is not available to do his voice. I might come in and do it, you know. And so it's great fun to be a voice double as well, because you get to be all these different people. So, also Fox, if you watch Fox Tonight, coming up, it's a full hour of Cops, followed by America's Most Wanted, which I'll be doing in just a little bit after our time here. But or Spike TV, coming up on Players, or 1,000 Ways to Die. So, yeah, it's just, you know, I get to be all these different characters, and most people would have never guessed that I'm those characters. Or like the Strawberry Mini Wheat. Everybody knows those little Mini Wheat commercials. Well, I'm the little strawberry one. So, yeah, it's great fun to be all these different people.
That is amazing. The voice doubling just blows my mind away sometimes. How you now? How do you prepare yourself? Because I know there's got to be somebody out there wanting to know this question. How do you prepare yourself to do a voice double? You know, what are the preparations? How do you get their accent down just right? You know, how do you fine tune that so it doesn't sound a little off? It sounds pretty much dead on.
Yeah, the difference between, say, for example, an impersonator. You know, you had like, in my day, it was Rich Little or Frank Gorshin or any of these guys, and doing impressions of people who were great, and they did wonderful impressions, but sometimes they become, like Dana Carvey's became kind of caricatures of people. You know, he would do Johnny Carson, and he sounded kind of like, you know, he was on helium, and Johnny Carson's real voice is deeper and it's much more all right, you know. So you try to perfect the voice to where you sound just like the person and not a caricature of them. You don't overdo any of it. So you have to study their voice. You listen to them a lot. You watch them a lot. You watch their mannerisms. I find that I try to become them, you know, facially and the way I move my body if I'm doing somebody, as well as just the voice. So I do a lot of study with it. But sometimes as well, what will happen is my agents will send me a sound file of someone, and it'll be literally 6 seconds, maybe 8 seconds of their voice, and they'll say, "We need a match for this movie. Can you do this person's voice?" And it, you know, I listen to it and I know if I can or can't. I just have this kind of built-in tape recorder in my head, and I can hear the voice. And if I can hear it in my head, I usually can get pretty close right off the bat, and then I can kind of fine-tune it and work it, and you know, change it into their voice as much as I can. The tougher ones to do are the ones that are actually close to my regular voice, because it's harder to get someone that sounds like me and get their nuances instead of going back to reverting to my nuances. But a voice like, say, Gilbert Gottfried, who's very different and very loud, and everything he says is very, very loud, you know, that's easy to break into.
Fred Flintstone, that's easy to break into because it's different from my voice. But
Michael J. Fox was, you know, a little tougher because, again, it's very similar. David Spade is really pretty similar to my own voice. Or Ron Howard. Ron Howard's voice is very similar to mine. It's just a little more folksy, a little more wealthy, you know, a little more talented. But no, it's just one of those things where you just find the little hitches that they are doing that your voice isn't doing, and you attach yourself to that. Johnny Depp is also one of those ones that's very tough because he's always different. He's a chameleon. I've doubled him for Pirates, as well as Willy Wonka, as well as the Mad Hatter for Alice in Wonderland, and he's always doing something different, and his accent is always changing. So, you know, you just have to tune into the people. So if anybody's looking to do it, really study the voices that you're trying to do. But I don't know. I would say most of the time, most people that are voice actors make the most money and the best living off of their own voice. So rather than trying to be a million different people, perfect your voice first and then take it from there and see where it goes. That's the advice I usually give. Yeah.
Yeah. That is really neat. Now, let's go off the track a little bit here. Mm-hmm, let's talk a little bit more about you. Now, we know that you're this famous voice actor, but what do you do outside of voice acting? Do you have fun? Do you have another job that you do, or is this the only thing that you do?
Well, thankfully, yeah, it is the only job that I do. But I mean, very briefly, and then I'll get off to the sidelines there. But like, a day for me will start, for example, I woke up this morning and got up, did my exercise. I'm a big bike rider. I like to ride a bike. I went and rode a few, probably about 6 miles today, and pulled my daughter, my 5-year-old daughter, on the back with a little trailer, and we went for a nice ride with the family, my wife and I. And then I got up and I had a session at 9 o'clock in the morning for Clone Wars, for some stuff I was doing there, some Obi-Wan Kenobi and some Plo Koon lines that I recorded from my home studio. I have a studio here at home, and I record all those there, and then I went and I did a session for Spike, and then, like I say, I have the Fox stuff. But what I like to do is I like a little golf, although I don't really golf that much, but I do enjoy bike riding. I really do. I find that it's just a great time for me. But and I enjoy driving a car too. I actually like driving. I like kind of getting away and creating things. What I'm working on right now is a stage show, and some of my stuff can be seen on my YouTube page. There's some clips of a stage show that I did that I'm preparing for a new one that I want to do for the troops. I'm a big supporter of our troops, and the USO has let me do a show before. So in my free time, I've been working on putting that show together and getting that out there, and then hopefully I will take it across country as well and show it to other people. And it's about my life as a voice actor. But most of the time, yeah, I am studying voices and enjoying all of that, as well as just trying to do as much goodwill as I can for people and getting out there and meeting people and signing autographs for kids for Clone Wars, or doing messages for them as Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's just I'm a blessed man. I'm blessed to have the life that I do, and so I try to not take it for granted, and I certainly try to not be big-headed about it and try to just give back as much as I can. So, yeah, that's kind of now, in a nutshell, yeah.
Now, in another question here, how many cartoons do you watch on a weekly basis?
Well, okay, that's actually a good question. I, because it might surprise you that I don't watch a lot of them on television as much as I will keep up with things a lot of times on YouTube, or, just on Hulu or whatever I might watch, or iTunes to catch up for things or to find work that I've done. I will set the TiVo a lot and tape my shows and things so I can watch it, because I do enjoy watching my work, but also I like to see the finished product. So many actors are like, no, I don't want to hear myself. I don't want to watch myself. I like it because I like seeing what other actors did with me on the show, because a lot of times we're separate and we don't actually get to all record together. But also, I really have such a great love for the animation process and all of these fantastic artists and directors and writers that put these things together. So I love watching all of them. But on a weekly basis, I don't know. I watch a few different cartoons. I tend to, if I'm going to sit and watch cartoons, I watch the classics, Looney Tunes. If there is one thing that really can make me laugh out loud, Jonathan, it is Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig. Those classic Looney Tunes cartoons, they just slay me. I love them.
So Mel Blanc basically your idol?
He is certainly one of my heroes. Don Messick as well. But yeah, Don Messick was the voice of Scooby-Doo and Papa Smurf and Boo Boo Bear and Mr. Ranger and so many other characters on, everything from the Jetsons to the Flintstones and all in between, on Johnny Quest as well. And Don was, he lived in my hometown of Santa Barbara, where I live and work, and he had a home studio as well, and I got to work with him when I started out in radio when I was about 18 years old, and I was just freaking out that I was working with Scooby-Doo, and so I called him up one day after that, and I said, could I buy you breakfast or lunch and pick your brain? And he was like, sure. And so I got to sit down and talk with him and just learn from him. And so he was also one of my just absolute heroes. And Dawes Butler as well was just amazing. And then contemporary wise, my heroes are my friends now, which is just it's wild that these people are just people that I can call up and say hey to. From Rob Paulsen, from Pinky and the Brain, and Maurice LaMarche. Maurice was the Brain, and Rob was Pinky, and they're both just Mo you can hear on Lexus now. He's the voice of Lexus, and Rob is the voice of Honda, Mr. Opportunity here, and as well as many other cartoons that they all still do. But Jim Cummings, Billy West is just amazing. Jess Harnell, all these just amazing actors. Frank Welker, just fantastic voice actors. So it's a pleasure and a privilege to work with them on a regular basis.
And you were talking about the original, the voice of Scooby-Doo, and now Frank has actually taken that over, which is kind of cool.
Yes, he has. Indeed, yeah.
And but the big thing is that he is Fred off of Scooby-Doo as well.
Yeah, you know, it is so cool. The one of my very first animation jobs, regular series that I got, was Atlantis, The Lost Empire. We did, which ended up not being a series. We recorded 18 episodes, and then the movie Atlantis, The Lost Empire came out, and it didn't do as well as Disney had hoped, and so they just took three of the 18 episodes, put them together, and made it a straight-to-DVD sequel to the film, and they called it Atlantis, Milo's Return. And so I was replacing Michael J. Fox on that, because I had done all of his doubling for the film and the video game and all of that, and you know, his schedule was such where he couldn't do it, or you know, what have you. And so I was grateful to take that. But Frank Welker was Obby, my dinosaur dog in that, as well as many other voices on the show. And that was like my first time working with Frank. It was just such an honor. And I just saw him actually 2 days ago working on a episode of, he was doing some Scooby-Doo pickups, but it was so good to see him. But he is just, he started not unlike me. And I digress like that because when we were working on Atlantis, he said, you know, I know, James, you have all these other voices inside of you. And, you know, people were kind of just pinning me as the Michael J. Fox sound alike at the time. And this was, you know, this was quite a few years ago. And he said, but, you know, when I first started, I was doing Fred on Scooby-Doo, and they all kind of thought that was all I could do. And I just, you know, patience, and finally get those opportunities to get out there. And sure enough, yeah, he is known as the voice god to all of us in voiceover now. Frank is amazing. He can create any creature sound, any voice, any accent, anything at all. And it was just wonderful for him to give that advice. And that's certainly the advice I try to give everybody as well, is have patience and belief in yourself. You know, it's, you know, I know also from your work as well, that you just have these great voices inside of you, Jonathan, and you do great stuff. And, you know, it's like, we've talked about it briefly before, but it's, you know, just patience, knowing that just keep going, keep getting the stuff out there, and people will hear it, and it will shine through. It really will. So I certainly believe that.
Well, thank you very much for those compliments.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting back to the real quick, because I know we got to wrap up, but me and my son will continue to watch the final season of Johnny Test. He loves it. He's 5 years old as well. And
I have
absolutely
some news
loves
about that, yeah.
Okay, you go have ahead. Some news?
Yeah, but go ahead.
Okay. And then, of course, I've also noticed that I heard your voice not once, but twice in the new Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc.
Yes. Yeah. I've had some guest spots on there. I was, I don't know if all of them have come out yet, but, yeah, no, it's fun. Scooby-Doo is just, I've had the pleasure of being on the last three or so, incarnations of Scooby-Doo. And, it is always a pleasure. Especially when I get to be the person that says, you know, and I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids, you know, it's always, always great to say that line. I remember the first time I did, it was very surreal, but, I was playing, I think one of the very first ones I did, I was playing two different Romanian guys, one, a very young one, and he was a vampire. And my twin brother on it was being played by Billy West. And then
Owen de Castle was the old owner of the castle. And he was also a Romanian. And so Steve Fortescu was the young one. And I remember they said, like, Billy had to listen to my voice and copy what I was doing. And I went, oh, please.
You know, Billy West is a legend. It was great fun to have that position at that time. So, yeah, it was fun. But as far as Johnny Test goes, yeah, you never know. There could be some more Johnnies coming up.
Cool.
You know, yeah, we are talking about going into the studio here very soon to record some more. So I certainly hope that happens, and it looks as though it will. But that would be a season 5 of Johnny. And there's a show that Scott Fellows created. And Scott is also, he's a creator of a show on Nickelodeon called Big Time Rush.
Big Time Rush.
Yeah, live action show. And but he created Johnny several years ago, and he and I did it. We did the pilot, and I did a bunch of different voices on it. And then they brought me in to do it because they had cast the whole thing in Canada, but he still really wanted me to be Johnny. He still felt like, you know, that was the voice. And so I'm the only one on the cast that is here in the States. The rest of the cast is in Canada. And so I record all my lines in just a little booth here on my own. And Scott just does a great job writing and directing these and creating them. But he's very busy now with Big Time Rush. So he had me do a little cameo on there, which was great fun. So a regional manager, Taylor, I got to be. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I got to see that clip a few moments before actually we had this interview here. So,
oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, I actually got to see it there. Promoted the little girl who was the ambassador to Japan. So,
yeah, exactly. So, yeah, they said that maybe I'll have some more little cameos, but it's kind of like if Johnny Test grew up, he would be the regional manager of this hotel, I guess. And so that was kind of how I was playing. It was a mix between Johnny and David Spade. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Very, yeah. Very cool. Well, hopefully we'll get to talk some more here soon. And,
absolutely.
Because I know you got some stuff to go on to. And thank you so much for being on our show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I hope that everybody enjoyed the little break with all of us here. And I hope everybody takes a chance. You know, that is the one thing in my life that I certainly try to do is take at least 15 minutes a day, clear my mind, just get everything out and just have a break. And so what a wonderful way of doing it here where you have this online at your break. I mean, I hope everybody does it and enjoys it. So thanks so much for the time and letting me be a part of it.